Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greetings, listener dear, and welcome to Pappy's Flatshare. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and this is a Beef Brothers cold cuts. And it's
how
very...
do you like your beef? Well, we're giving it you cold.
We're giving it you cold today. But we have a fantastic guest. Maisie Adam is our guest. But before we get to that,
yes,
Anna has got in touch. By the way, Anna. Tom, Anna has got in touch via our Patreon. Join the Patreon, folks. It's always a lot of fun there.
It is good, actually.
She says, Tom.
Hello.
The West Country pirate stereotype comes from Blackbeard, a pirate from Bristol, famous for putting fireworks in his beard.
Yes.
I just wanted to let you know, Anna from Bristol.
Does that mean I was right? I can't quite remember, but it feels like that means I was right.
No.
It means that there was definitely one pirate that a lot of pirates are based on.
Yes.
And then there were also loads of other pirates.
Yes. That's right.
So congratulations, Tom. Congratulations, Tom. Your ever-moving argument has come around to being right.
I'm off to stick Anna telling you. I'm off to pop a firework in my beard, baby.
Well, before you do that as well, we've got a very, very special treat. Now, listeners, certainly to our Patreon, will know the work of Brian Shelf, who is a professional jingle maker by trade. And he has made us a little advert for Flatshare Lockdown, which is the podcast we do over on our Patreon. So I thought I could play that now before we start the episode. We could play that and, you know, maybe it'll be a little incentive to the people who've not joined the Patreon yet. You can see the kind of fun we enjoy over at Flatshare Lockdown.
Get your phone out. Give us $5, please. So you can get the Patreon action. You can download all. Be on a roll call. Now you have joined the Pappy's faction.
Do you now smell like a sausage?
Trams are shit, aren't they?
Everyone's had a ploughman's got in a pub with an owl.
See, I don't really live with it, mate.
Oh, a bird's flown into the window and it's on the balcony.
I am a gentleman.
Countdown is the dictionary on TV.
Wow.
Tina!
I'm Matthew, Ben and Emma, talk and yap and chat forever. Faces become happy, not round, download Pappy's Flatshare Lockdown.
My word.
Good stuff there from Brian Shelf.
That was amazing.
Really, really good.
So patreon.com
/ Pappy's Flatshare. And you can probably get to chat to Brian Shelf there as well, who's a lovely man. But let's not waste any more time. Let's get on with this episode. Maisie Adam is our guest. She's absolutely brilliant. And enjoy.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Hey, Maisie, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, mate. How are you?
Really good, thanks very much. Thanks for coming on the show.
No, I'm excited to be here. It's good to see your faces. It's nice to see faces that you don't live with, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's just nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's basically the only reason we're still doing this podcast.
Yeah.
So who do you live with, Maisie?
Right, so I live with my boyfriend and my brother.
Wow, quite a double header.
Two different people. I feel like I need to clarify that.
Good to know.
Two different people. It's been interesting. It's not a dynamic I'd choose, but it's been a wild ride, and I think that's a strange living dynamic anyway. But to then do it in a forced lockdown where you have no choice but to spend every minute of every waking hour of every day with them is...
Yeah, because I'm just trying to work it out. Like, in my head, there's a danger of them getting on too well.
This is the thing. There's no winner situation here. They either get on too well, and then it's like, well... And that's how... So I feel like that was, like, the first stage. is that it was very, it was like living with Chandler and Joey from Friends. You know,
the dream.
Yeah, it was sort of like you'd walk in and they'd both be sat there with a beer, like baking.
And a duck.
Yeah, and a duck. And floating on a white horse. And then lockdown started to go on for longer than I think anybody anticipated. And slowly, I think, again, using the Friends analogy, I think my boyfriend was exposed to the sort of like Monica and Ross relationship me and my brother have. So the competitive sibling stuff started to set in, and the petty digs that we do can like set in, that they started to happen. And there's also like such a thing, isn't there, of like, I don't know if you guys have siblings, but like if you have an argument with your sibling, it's you have it and then it's sorted. You don't need to do the whole like sitting down and being like, sorry about what I said earlier. It's just like, you're my sibling, we do that. We have
It's unspoken because you're family and you're always family. Yes.
And there's no need to go out of your way to resolve anything. It's just sort of naturally assumed that in the next 4 hours that will be resolved. And so my boyfriend has had to put up with like me and my brother having these like big arguments, and then the next day my boyfriend Mike will be like, is it all right between you two? And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're talking about yesterday. Oh yeah, it's absolutely fine. We've gone for a beer since then. So
yeah.
it's like that, I think, for everybody. Like from my brother Danny, I think from his perspective, if he was on this podcast, he'd be like, I live with my girlfriend and her boyfriend. It's horrific. I'm living with a couple. Also, my boyfriend and brother are very opposite people. So they're as lads go, they're as opposite as they come, really.
All right, mate. So we get it. They're not the same person, you know? Yeah, yeah. Don't have to labour the points.
Okay.
Yeah. They're so opposite, even down to their kissing technique. Like, they're really, really different.
Do you think you behave... I mean, obviously you do... Obviously, we all do behave differently with our partners and with our families. But I think when I first took my wife back to visit my family, she saw me kind of regress to being about 14.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I think you just behave like, you know, you the age you were when you were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really hard. It's really hard not to.
Yeah.
And like, I'm a lot pettier. I'm a lot sulkier with my family. I'm just 100%. Like, I'm basically like a moody teenager with my family a lot of the time. I will say things that I know will annoy people. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll do it just to annoy them, which is not a thing unbelievably, it's not a thing I do in real life, despite the evidence. I'm not trying to annoy people, I just do. But with my family, I'll sort of needle away at them. I know the right things to do, push buttons. And I don't want to do it, but it's just, you become a different person. So are you kind of completely walking around in a kind of Jekyll and Hyde situation, sort of being...
Yeah,
you know, a lovely partner and an awful sister.
Yeah, yeah, it's constantly, and I don't know when it's going to switch either. It's just like, you know those awful like old movies where they suddenly like become a werewolf, and it's like, I know what. I can feel it being like that. I will have spent the whole day with my boyfriend being a really nice, lovely girlfriend, and then my brother will come in and say one thing, and I can feel myself going back to 9-year-old petty sister Maisie. Yeah. It was like, stop hitting yourself. Go straight to that.
You drop behind a table, you come up, you've got hairy hands.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think actually this situation, it's not exactly the same, but Tom, do you want to read your beef out first of all from Vida?
Okay.
Because I feel like Maisie, you might be well placed to help try and solve this scenario.
Okay.
Vida writes via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch.
Yeah, get in touch, actually.
Vida must get... Vida must get people saying, are you living La Vida Loca a lot?
Oh, 24/7. And every person that makes that joke will think, oh, God, that is comedy gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. And now I've effectively done that.
Viva La Vida by Coldplay. She must get that as well.
Yeah.
What we get at is it's a great name, though.
It's a huge name.
It's a great name.
Yeah. Really, it's a name to conjure with.
Vida. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's right there, isn't it? You want to meet Vida straight away.
Yeah.
Dear Pappies and Maisie, I have a beef that is currently becoming an increasing source of stress and contention in my flat. Up until very recently, I lived with three flatmates. My very good friends, Betty and Sarah, and Betty's boyfriend, Leo. Uh-oh. This was lovely until a month ago when Betty and Leo split up.
Oh, commiserations.
This was very sad, but ultimately probably the right call.
Okay.
We live in New Zealand. The dream. Yeah. And our early... imagine being called Vida and living in New Zealand. What a life!
You've got it sorted, haven't you? You've won life's lottery. New Zealand, beautiful place to live.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful country. Vida, possibly my favourite name I've ever heard.
Imagine. imagine the start of a film and it's like, I'm Vida and I live in New Zealand. You're like, here we go.
No. Terrible film. There's no jeopardy.
You'd almost see a film about someone. You turn it off and you go, this is too good to be true. No way.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm out.
You want it to be about a guy called Tom who lives in Wolverhampton.
Yes.
The end is called Vida and lives in New Zealand.
Oh, a rags to riches story.
Exactly what you want.
Vida, I married her. Okay, so end of film. Vida's in a bind. So it's not all sunshine.
Sorry, of course it is.
We live in New Zealand, and our early and strict lockdown, coupled with the fact that Betty and Leo are both working in the health sector, was a tough situation, and probably led to this, or at least helped. I had presumed that Leo would move out. We all did.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And Betty would stay, but this hasn't happened. Instead, Betty has been sleeping in mine and Sarah's rooms doing alternate nights, and Leo has stayed in their old shared room.
Leo, come on, Leo, please.
This arrangement seemed sort of acceptable in the first week of the breakup, given the messiness and everything, and Leo's job preventing him from doing a proper flat search. But now... it is becoming difficult.
So this is... sorry, is it Betty who's broken up or is it Sarah? Sorry.
Betty.
So yeah. Betty is effectively couch surfing in her own house.
Oh, no.
No. That can't happen.
But similarly, it is play devil's advocate, it is also Leo's house.
But who... so I would argue... is that it? Have you got to the end of it?
No.
Okay.
Let's pick a part of it now because I want to take this apart.
I would say a big part of this is who ended it, because if Betty has ended it with Leo, Leo can go, you know, all right, that sucks, but I'll leave. Whereas if she's ended it with Leo and he's staying, like, no, you've been dumped, mate, on your bike, off you go. Whereas if it's Leo that's dumped her. I mean, yeah.
Do you think Leo still holds a candle? Is that what you're saying? You think he's thinking, if I can at least stay in the same house as her, there's a chance I could win her back.
Well, let's find out.
I mean, if that is his thinking, that tells you everything that you need to know. I mean,
yeah, you've got to go, Leo. You're a weirdo.
If she weren't keen on you before, the fact that she's attempted to dump you and he's making you sofa surf in your own house, that's probably the nail in the coffin.
It's bad. The other thing I would say is you can also go back to the start of the flat share arrangement and go, well, if this is Vida's mates, if Vida started the flat share and said, look, Betty and Sarah, come and live with me. Yeah. And Betty goes, do you mind if I bring my boyfriend as well? No, of course, bring him in. The more the merrier.
Yeah.
It's you know, it wasn't Leo. Leo and Vida aren't mates.
Strange thinking from Leo's side as well. I don't know about you guys, but if I broke up with my boyfriend, the last thing I would want to do is stay around his mates.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, it's very telling the way Vida described it as my very good friends, Betty and Sarah, and Betty's boyfriend, Leo.
Yeah.
I don't think Leo's read the room here.
No. Yeah.
It's not my very good friend.
Because the room
Betty,
isn't
Leo
actually his room to read, let's be honest.
He's reading someone else's room. Well, look, she carries on. Far from this being an amicable breakup, Betty won't be in the same room as Leo.
Oh.
Won't cook if he's in the kitchen. Won't watch TV with us if he might come in. And generally won't talk to him at all. Leo, on the other hand, is acting like it's all fine.
Oh, Leo.
Leo, have a word with yourself, yeah. Leo.
Oh, Leo, what are you doing, man?
Have a word with yourself, Leo, in another flat.
A week ago, Sarah and I, after Betty refused to, suggested that Leo needed to move out. But surprisingly, Leo argued against this, saying that Betty was the one that had initiated the breakup and that she should be the one to move out. Now, we did not expect this.
No.
The thing is, Betty is our friend and Leo is just the boyfriend.
Right.
We do not want to live with him, capital letters. Leo moved into the flat only after we did and is very much the extra flatmate. But it's a difficult thing to say to someone who has been freshly dumped and clearly not coping very well. Leo's refusal to leave was so surprising that we are quite at a loss as to what to do. Please, Beef Brothers, help us. Obviously, Leo has to be the one to leave, but how do we make this clear? Also, Betty is very tall and gangly and kicks us in bed. So we would very much like this arrangement to come to an end. Cheers, everyone. Bye.
I love that. I love that. I thought it was just going to end at, like, obviously he needs to leave. And then it was, P.S., Betty is very long and langly. And I thought that was just an added detail for us, just to...
Yeah.
Just, I didn't think there was any consequence of that. Just so you know, she's very tall and gangly.
Whilst you're picturing her, she's very tall.
Yeah. This, by the way, when I said this is perfect for you to solve, Maisie, it wasn't because of the tall and gangly.
No, yeah.
Okay. I know you're a very tall person.
As a long-limbed lady, what would you do?
You're right in your wheelhouse. I think you need to sort out a sort of like a members club system where you need to vote. Everyone needs to vote for whether or not he should stay, and then it then becomes democratic. You put in a white ball or a black ball, a private vote.
Mm-hmm.
They pull it out. You're going to get three white balls, one black ball. We'll know who the black ball is, three black balls, one white ball. We'll know who the white ball is. It'll be Leo. Out Leo goes.
Isn't that? Like the whole thing about blackballing someone, isn't there a slightly more soft, like, blackballing feels, can we funny it up a bit?
Do something silly to get rid of him.
I think, so, she's like, long and gangly and kicks people in bed.
Yeah.
So in the night, sneak her back into bed with him. She'll kick him all the way out of the flat.
I worry that sneaker back into bed with him is a bad start. even if the end of the plan sounds okay, kick him out the flat.
You might be right.
Sneak your friend back into bed with her ex-boyfriend.
Clarky's classic advice of sneak back into bed with your ex fails to work yet again.
Poor Betty, waking up going, I didn't know I'd done it either. And then I'm all going down to the flatmates. The flatmates go, we were just thinking of you guys. We just thought it'd be best.
It was either that or glue all his furniture to the ceiling like Out the Twits. We went with the easier method, all right?
I blue-balled Leo, okay? I mean, it's been a long few weeks.
Wow. Black and blue-balled him.
Black and blue-balled.
Right, so Leo's clearly... Obviously, Leo's the issue. And I think what the thing we have to remember is that bit where it's like, Leo has to be the one to leave. He knows it, but he's clearly in a terrible place, isn't he? He's clearly not. Because if he was coping better, he'd have left by now.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, yeah. I think we were all hoping that this was going to be an issue where it was maybe an amicable breakup, or it was a mutual agreement of it ending. But it's absolutely, again, not to use this pun, but black and white clear on who ended it, whose flat it is, who should be out. So the whole problem is just Leo's refusal to accept it.
And that's the thing, is like, what you don't want to do, because already clearly, as Tom said, he's being stubborn, or he's kind of ignoring it, or so you don't want to kind of
very obvious signs he's ignoring.
Further entrench him in his position.
Uh-huh.
You want to kind of find a way to kind of encourage him, so it's almost like, oh, that's a good idea, Leo. Yes, you should leave.
I've got a really good idea.
Here we go.
Play this podcast now, right? Wait, play this in the front room now, and we'll do the job for you now. Like, be playing this now, and we're here to say, Leo, mate, you got to go.
Yeah.
Leo, if you're listening to this... And I know Betty's left the room because she always does whenever you're in the room. But Leo, if you're listening to this, I'm so sorry, mate. I know it's tough to be heartbroken, but unfortunately, you're never going to get over this hurt that you're feeling unless you get out of the situation. The only way to mend a broken heart is to go somewhere else, to not be seeing, you know, seeing the walls that remind you of the relationship that didn't work out as you want. And you know what? Your next relationship is going to be even stronger because of this. But you need to make steps in the right direction, and the right direction is out the fucking door, mate.
Yeah.
And listen, Leo, you're called Leo and you live in New Zealand. What a life waits for you out of that front door.
There's plenty more long-limbed ladies in New Zealand. Probably even longer limbs.
Find your longer-limbed lover and have a good time. You know what I mean?
Leo and his longer-limbed lover.
Look, I'm not sure. We don't know what island you're on, but if you're on the North Island, head to the South Island. If you're on the South Island, head to the North Island.
Yes.
There's a whole new life for you out there, Leo.
The thing that New Zealand has bucket loads of is space. All they've got is space. You know, small population, big land mass. There's plenty of other places to go, all right?
Yeah.
I could understand if you were living in dirty, disgusting, stinking London and you were trapped in a flat and there were 14 other families living in there with you. You know, I could understand that situation. You've got God's own country there to explore, Leo. Get out there. Enjoy it. Sow your wild oats. Go and meet increasingly... Responsibly, of course, yeah.
You can go to the set of Hobbiton, you know, the Lord of the Rings place, and be with a very short-limbed person. Get some variety.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You've spent your whole relationship with somebody who's very, very long. Head over to the set of one of the most successful film franchises on your doorstep and have it off with a hobbit.
There you go. Much like Matthew's wife did all those years ago. Embrace the joy of being with someone short.
Absolutely. We're very grateful.
Oh, Leo. Right.
And now, so now hopefully Leo's listened to that.
We would hope. I mean, also, how has it got to the point that Leo gets to keep the bedroom rather than Betty?
Mad.
Like... Surely you'd be like, yeah, Betty keeps a bedroom, and well, yeah, I'm not saying Leo could come and spoon the mates.
It'd be more complex.
Sound like you're pitching one of my ideas there.
Yeah.
I think Leo should, at the very least, have gone on the sofa.
Be on the sofa. Yeah. And then you'd soon want to leave. I think the fact he's wanting to stay is he's like, well, I've got this whole bedroom to miss out.
Yeah.
That's what needs
upgraded.
To change.
We need to say to Betty as well, and maybe I know it's tough talking to this guy, but maybe you need to put your foot down as well and say, listen, Leo, we have loved, but unfortunately, this is over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna move on. I'm also gonna go and I've seen some very attractive short men on the internet.
We have loved is a very poetic way to break up with someone, Crosby. I like that.
We have loved.
I mean, because the one thing I don't like about breakups is you don't want the breakup to sour the rest of the relationship. I can look back on previous relationships very fondly and go, you know, I have loved and was loved, but it didn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's the tricky thing about a breakup is you're sort of trying to, you may not even want to stay in the relationship. You just don't want to have this terrible feeling of something ending. We're not trained as human beings to lean into an ending. We hate the end of things.
Mm.
But you've got to face an ending. You've got to lean into an ending, face on, and just accept that it's over.
Yeah.
It's just something we're never taught how to do. Yeah. That's why it hurts so much to end a relationship. It's why it hurts
I think you're right as well. Like, yeah, I think Betty's got to take some of the like responsibility here of having that conversation rather than like Vida or the other flatmate. Like, it's her relationship, and a breakup is exactly that. He needs to go. I think just, you know, she needs to say, I need time for my heart to heal and a room to do that in. And I don't think it's too much to ask for my own room to have
absolutely
a bit of a heartbreak session in.
Bang. It's very tricky to masturbate when you've got your best friend lying next to you half asleep.
Really is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's even harder to do it when you've been put in bed by your mates with your ex.
Well, Vida, thank you for getting in touch, and I think if the recording works, do get back in touch and tell us how the recording works. But I believe that's beef solved.
Beef closed.
I think so.
Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is from Alan. I am struggling with the whole work from home thing. My partner's job is secure but very on-off, meaning that she is not that busy at the moment. My job is very tiring and pretty constant. The issue is that I need a bit of time alone after the workday. She, as a lovely person, wants a chat after I've finished for the day, but I need some alone time. How do I solve this very prickliest of problems?
It's an interesting one,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what a lot of us have lost in the working from home thing is the commute.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, obviously, when it was happening, we used to complain about the commute, but it was a bit of a buffer zone between work and home life,
yeah,
and home life and work.
Uh-huh.
And you need that bit of time just to let your brain decompress. And sometimes, you know, sometimes literally shutting your laptop and then going to have dinner at the same table you've just worked at doesn't feel like there's any space between.
Mm-hmm.
Can I recommend the B&Q car park? Because since lockdown has started, I have, and I think it's a trick I learned from my dad, who was always running errands and,
yes,
you know, would always be like, oh, I'm just going to go out and buy, and he would say like drill bits or screws or wall plugs. And then we wouldn't see him for an hour and a half. And it was always like, oh, dad's out running errands or he's collecting stuff. And I always used to think, we always used to joke about it. But since lockdown, I've found myself doing that. And moreover, my local B&Q has got a burger van in it.
Ooh.
Oh, so, fatal.
So
fatal.
I found myself going like, oh, I think we need some more... maybe a piece of wood there or something.
Maisie, what you've got to know about Tom is he is one of the best interior decorators. He's like Handy Andy. Honestly,
wow.
He will look at a wall and say, what you want to do is nail a 2x4 onto that.
We need a piece of wood on there.
It looks absolutely gorgeous. We need a piece of wood up on that wall.
If you considered a piece of wood? And then you pop off and then you can just sit in B&Q car park for a bit, collect your own thoughts.
Yeah.
Have a wander around B&Q if you want to, but you don't have to.
With your bratwurst.
Have 14 burgers.
You've got your foot-long hot dog. You buy a foot-long piece of wood. You're having a great time.
Oh, no. He's unfortunately nailed another hot dog to the wall.
Imagine Tom's family is just like, oh, he's gone out to go and get some more nails for that wall. Just comes back smelling of greasy onions. You're having an affair with the dirtiest woman.
Yeah. And so, like, I just think, you know, an errand is a healthy thing to have.
Yeah,
and what a sense of achievement as well, because obviously we've just moved into a new place, so my life is nothing but errands. Any free time, there's always something I could be doing.
Yeah.
Also, as well, I have not changed my address on Amazon, so I keep accidentally sending stuff to the old flat. So I'm constantly having to drive around. I'm doing it this afternoon, having to drive around to the old flat, and actually that's quite a nice thing to do. You finish your dinner. It's about 8:30, 9 o'clock, and you go, oh, just drive around to the old flat, go and pick up some stuff, or just go and drop some clothes off at the clothes bank.
And is there a burger van on route?
There's not a burger van on route, but what I do is I've set up on the passenger seat, I've set up a microwave, and I bring a few rustlers with me. So I just plug them in. I've attached the microwave into the old fag lighter, put that in there, do some Rustler's burgers and just sit outside my old flat eating a Rustler's. In fact, now Crosby. I think about it, I'm having a breakdown. Now I hear it out loud, I think I'm completely depressed.
Wrap them in tin foil, stick them under the bonnet.
Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, yes. The car.
All of these things being done because it's good for your mental health. Of course. Yeah, it's just good. It's just good for my head to do it, you know?
This is good to sit in a car park eating a burger. Yeah,
so much better than having a conversation with your partner. So much better than having a conversation with your partner.
It's true, and I feel like lockdown has kind of it's made it feel it can make it feel like a bit of a failure to want to go on a walk on your own or something, or want a bit of time to yourself, because you're thinking I'm leaving behind something that should be amazing. But that's because outside of this weird pandemic era, you have to go to work, so it's not really a choice that you're doing.
Yes.
So you have to go to work, or you have to do this commute. So there's a reason that you're leaving the house. Whereas now you're having to go, I want to leave the house because I want to just get away for a bit. And that's not a bad thing for anybody to want to do. But it feels bad. It feels almost like an affair, like a naughty thing of being like, I don't want to hang out with you at this moment.
Yeah.
But that's because all of your other vices have gone, which were normally masked by having to do it because that's your workplace or it's a task you've got to do. So I think just
what vices were you doing at work?
Well, no, as in like an errand. I've never done any vices, for the record. But it's a tough one, isn't it? Like
that sounds like such a job interview lie.
Yeah.
I've never done a vice.
Can I just kick things off by saying I've never done any vices? Anyway, carry on.
What's my weakness? I've never done a vice. Never done a vice.
I tell you what, they've got a lovely vice at B&Q. Perfect place to get one. But no, I think the errand as well. The errand robs, you know, removes the guilt of that, because you go, well, I'm not just. If I said, oh, by the way, I'm going to go for a drive around the old neighbourhood.
Yeah,
that's bad.
Why have you got the microwave under your arm?
You're right though. Like, it feels almost nicer for you and for the person that you are. Let's put it bluntly, needing to avoid for a bit. Or get away from. It feels like it makes it easier to say and to hear if it's actually that you've got a reason to do it other than just getting away.
Here's another thing as well, is that I feel like a big problem with it is when you're with the same person all the time, you have less to talk about.
Oh, you
obviously
run out
because
of
you
everything.
Run out of things to talk.
Yeah,
but also you've got no anecdotes because you've been in the same room all day.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. That could be the task of, like, I'm gonna go get an anecdote.
Literally. I saw a tweet the other day that was so good. It was like, sex is great, but have you ever told an anecdote to a long-term partner and they've not heard it before? And I honestly, I thought of the idea of telling Mike something and him being like, I've not heard this before. And it genuinely, like, I was like, oh, that would be amazing. Yeah. That would be incredible.
My wife, because I always come home and say, oh my God, I've got something to tell you. And she says, is it about the burger van again? And I'm like, yes. did something happen at the burger van? Yeah,
they've
it was at the
mustard.
Burger van.
They've got new mustard, Jane. You've got to understand this.
So this guy forgot to order onions, right? Oh, you're not going to believe this.
And this is the thing. You'd normally come home from work and you've got stories to say about what happened that day. We have all been at home or around each other since like March, April. We've got nothing left to say.
That's it.
So nothing's it can happening. Start to feel like when you're sat in silence with the other person, you're like, oh, has the spark gone? Have we run out of things? You know, is it going like downwards or whatever? And you're like, no, just nothing's happened.
Going stale, yeah.
Nothing's happened for you to talk about.
Alan, what about this though? What about a trip to your local supermarket?
Yeah.
Doesn't, you know, if you've got a walkable or even drivable local supermarket, because they open late, you finish your job, you drive to the supermarket, and you come back with a treat for both of you. Then you get some time for yourself, right? Get a lovely bit of time for yourself, the travelling, the picking out the treat. Then you come back and go, look at this. I've got some lovely chocolate, or I've got a bottle of wine.
I've got some hot dog baps. I've got a jar of hot dogs.
I've got the phone number of the bloke who runs the van. You know, whatever it's going to be. Got Greasy Phil's phone number. Whatever it's going to be, that then you can then share with that person. So it feels like you're doing something directly for them. I've got some Ben and Jerry's. We're going to enjoy some of that Netflix and chilled Ben and Jerry's. Mm. Then it doesn't feel like you're going, I need to be away from you.
Mm.
What you're doing is, I need to do something for us.
Just playing devil's advocate here, though.
Yeah,
from Alan's wife's perspective, Alan suddenly goes from, like, sticking around and, like, kind of... Maybe she's managed to pick up that Alan's getting a little bit irritated or something. And then suddenly he's going out for, like, an hour a day. She doesn't know where he's going. And then he's coming back with a treat for her. That, would reek of having an affair with the burger van lady. So,
Greasy Phyllis?
Yeah, Greasy Phyllis.
you're absolutely right.
So maybe he needs to just be like a bit more upfront and be like, do you know what I really miss about work? It's not the colleagues. It's not the office banter. It is the commute. And I think it would be really nice if I could... I think it'd be really nice if I could just do a little bit of a commute every day.
If I could get a train three stops there and three stops back, not the full journey.
Yeah, I know.
If I could just get on a tram and go in a circle and come back to where I live.
I mean,
it's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like the acceptable face of errands would be exercise, where you'd go, I'm going for a walk or I'm going for a run.
Yeah,
that's like the slightly easier option is you go, I'm not going to buy any wood. I'm not going to eat a burger. I'm going to go for a walk or go for a run. And like a walk, or can you know, where is your local B&Q within walking distance?
Yeah, yeah. Does it have to be a B&Q, Tom?
Listen,
does it only work with B&Qs?
I'm being sponsored by B&Q, mate. I'm on this deal. Okay?
Paul Allen's going to turn up at a home base and get, it's just not the same.
It's just not the same.
I wonder if there's even an option for him just having, you know, like we were saying that the commute provides this sort of decompression zone. If he could just give himself a decompression room, Let's maybe it involves a white lie going, listen, love, he didn't say what he did, Alan, but let's say we now have to do a conference call at the end of every day. And he just goes into a room, says he's on the conference call, and in actual fact, he's just watching Emily in Paris or something, you know?
Talking back to her, yeah. he's chatting to Emily, he's filling in his own dialogue.
Yeah.
He starts this kind of weird mental affair with Emily in Paris.
Yeah, I'm like, actually
the
saying
burger
this,
van all over again.
Say this out loud. I flagged up Matthew's idea and was like, his wife might think he's having an affair, and I've just suggested he goes into a room and talks to an imaginary Emily for an hour every day.
Just have an affair, Alan. It's a little bit
just have an affair.
Great,
it's easy.
It?
Yeah. It's easy.
I think maybe the exercise is the thing. And it, again, the tricky thing with the walk is, if you say I'm going for a walk, there's every chance they go, oh, brilliant, you can tell me about your day while we go for a walk together.
Oh.
What you want to do, Alan, is start running either very fast or very slow.
Yeah.
Whatever speed your partner's running, you want to be a completely different, incompatible speed to them.
Yeah. Oh, God,
make that your time. I think, you know what? I think it's not a bad idea, actually. I think the exercise or the errand, that's beef solved.
Uh-huh. And alternate it between, you know.
So it doesn't seem like an affair.
Between exercise and errand.
Don't buy flowers every single time you leave the house. Just remember that.
Don't go on a run and return with flowers, because that's
the worst.
That's strange. And don't say you're going out on an errand and come back sweaty.
With a burger. don't go out for a run and come back clutching a burger.
Because she gave me free onions.
Beef burger closed.
Beef from the sorting out your beef. Solved. This is from Ben in Madrid.
Oh,
holla, Ben.
All the way out in Madrid.
Holla.
And he ain't no holla back boy. So he says, hello, Matthew, Tom, Ben, producer Caution, and Maisie. This isn't actually a beef as such, but I'm curious to see if this is the thing to get het up about or if it's just me.
Oh, okay.
My flatmate, brackets wife, can happily watch TV, news, film, series, whatever, in the wrong aspect ratio.
Oh,
and it
dear.
Really bugs me. The problem is double.
Nerd!
The problem is double. Number one, it's just so wrong and easy to solve. Number two, you sound like such a wanker saying it's the wrong aspect ratio. Well, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Is it better to say this should be 4:3?
No.
It doesn't sound any better. No. If I ask her if it bothers her that all the people are squashed and stretched, she says no, from which I gather that it doesn't bother her. Amazing powers of deduction there from our friend Ben.
So in tune with it.
Oh, here we go. This is the tricksy part of the email.
Okay.
Here's a thing. Somebody told me, to quote The Killers, here's a thing. Somebody told me that women don't care about this and men do. But I think that's a bit / a lot binary. Surely that can't apply. I can tell you now, quick survey. I don't care about it. Clarkey?
Yeah, I care.
You care about it, Parry?
No.
Maisie?
No. No.
Caution, if you're there, do you care about this? That says it all.
Caution's voted with her feet.
So that just means
Caution actually says she's a little. She put a little on the Zoom chat. So we've got a girl who cares a little, a girl who cares not at all, a boy who cares a lot, and two boys who care not at all. So I would say that argument is not it, Ben. You were right to think that can't.
Yeah, it's not down to gender. It's down to whether or not you're a total nerd and need to get a grip.
What?
I am really enjoying the idea of a bunch of lads sat around a table at a pub being like, that's the thing, though. They just don't get it, do they? They don't get the aspect ratio.
Say what you like. I'm not saying nothing. I'm not saying nothing bad. They're not the same as us. They just don't care if they're a little bit stretched or a little bit squashed, mate.
Meanwhile, all those wives are in a pedicure salon, getting them all done, getting all their feet done and varnish and everything, all going, I just don't see what the problem is. I really don't understand it. Honestly.
Anyway, he said it was all squished, and I was like, what do you mean? It's
honestly,
not even a letterbox.
I said, Barry, calm down. Why are you getting so irate about it? I think he's having an affair.
He went out for a run the other day, came back with a burger.
Ben finishes. Oh, by the way, actually, the only thing our survey has proved is that people who call Ben really care about it.
Yeah.
The email's from me, guys. Come on.
Ben says, anyway,
from Madrid.
I misread it. It says Ben in my flat. He says, anyway, I solve it by changing it. She doesn't care if I do that, so I don't need my specific domestic beef solved. But the fact is, all over the world, people don't care about aspect ratio, and that's what I want you to solve. Thanks, Ben.
I have got the full measure of Ben now. He's gone. Actually, it turns out she's not bothered about it if I turn it back. I just wanted to complain and let her know that it's really, really annoying me.
Yeah.
What a campaign.
This is the tricky thing about a thing that doesn't matter but does bother you that your partner always does.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better to point it out and change it, or is it better to just change it? Is there a passag to just changing it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one for Ben. Although I think Ben is clearly fucking delighted with himself.
Aspect ratio awareness. He's got a cause. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
In this day and age, at least he knows what he stands for.
In fairness to him, I can actually relate on this to some level, in that perhaps you guys have this as well, but I have something that it bothers me but doesn't bother my partner at all. Again, it's a bit of a technical thing. He will quite happily just let me have it how I like, so it doesn't cause an argument. I just can't believe that there are people out there who don't do it how I do, and that is the volume control being on either a multiple of 10 or a multiple of 5.
Oh, we're even numbers in our house.
Right, so you would happily have it on, 34?
Yeah.
No, but right, actually, so then I would have to go one more to 35.
It could be a bit too loud. It used to be even numbers, actually, because Charlie used to live with someone who always wanted it on even numbers, but I think actually now neither of us particularly care about it. I think currently I would watch it on a 37, but that would drive you mad, right?
Yeah. No,
here's the thing: 35 too quiet, 40. I mean, we've got neighbours, Maisie. We're not living on a farm.
Here's a question, though: if you're setting an alarm, You ever setting your alarm for 37 minutes past?
No, never. If I need to go up at 7, I'll set it for 7 or 6:45. Then it goes to multiples of 15.
I think I'd do 15. I wouldn't go. I might do a 6:05. I would never do like a 6:09. That seems mad.
Yeah. Absolute bonkers, right?
Yeah. But, no.
I'm quite a fan of the 57, I must admit.
Get in the bin.
57, give yourself 3 minutes.
I like that, because then you go, I'm ahead of myself already. You start the day ahead of yourself.
Madness.
Yeah.
You could be ahead of yourself by 5 minutes.
Yeah, even better.
55? I miss my beauty sleep. No, thank you.
that sweet, sweet extra 2 minutes in bed.
Oh, the worst, by the way, thing that can happen is you wake up naturally and it's 57. You've set an alarm for 6.
Oh, that's horrendous.
I hate it.
Yeah.
And that's why you're safer. Set your alarm for 57 and make sure that doesn't happen to you.
Yeah, but you know what's going to start happening? I'm going to start waking up at 54. And then where am I?
Yeah.
Then I'm groggy for the rest of the day.
Oh, 54.
Constantly rubbing sleep out of my eyes.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be living your day like it's in the wrong aspect ratio. Nobody wants that.
My day's going to be all squished and stretched out in the wrong place.
We've kind of solved that, have we?
I think so.
I think we have.
I'm pretty sure that most modern TVs should automatically switch to the right aspect ratio. So maybe you just need to buy new
TV. Do you have your T-shirts in different aspect ratios?
Yeah, that's right. I do, actually. I haven't been doing enough morning walks.
Have you put a weight clock in? No. I've been going to B&Q Park Rock a lot and my T-shirts change aspect ratios.
This used to be in 16:9, I swear to God.
I think, Ben, you just have to deal with the fact some people care about it, some people don't. Beef solved.
Beef solved.
Beef brother sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Right, so to wrap up, Maisie, do you have a problem? We know your living arrangement.
Yeah.
You've got your brother and your partner, your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is the problem that's going on in your flat that you would like us to try and resolve?
Okay, so... plot twist, it's not actually anything to do with between the dynamic of me and my boyfriend and my brother.
Great.
Yeah,
this is actually so
when we first moved into this flat, we're on the top floor flat, okay? And there's two below us, and next door we were led to believe when we moved in that he I think they're a couple about me and my boyfriend's age. And we were led to believe that he fixes audio. That was his job. But what that actually means in real life is that because he works from home, so this is all pre-pandemic as well, works from home, we hear through the wall all day.
Oh, right.
And I was like, I guess we can't have a pop at him because he's fixing people's speakers or something.
Yeah.
So we can't really have a pop at him. Then he just started like upping it, like especially during lockdown, he was blasting it to the point where when we try and like knock on the walls to tell him, he can't hear us, so we have to hit the wall on the offbeat. So it'll be like it's so hard.
Well, then you're making the tune even better. That's the problem.
I know. So it took us ages to try and literally get through to him. We've tried ringing the doorbell, and nobody from the top flat comes down to the door. So speaking face to face is not an option. So we started by hitting on the offbeat, and he finally stopped. He turned and we were like, oh my god, brilliant! And he hit the roof. So honestly, we hit.
Did he hit the roof on the offbeat or on the beat?
He was like, Jesus Christ, chill out. We were hitting on the offbeat, and he literally turned off his audio and went, Jesus Christ, calm down. And we were like, sorry, through the wall. But like,
we
went full like absolute wet flannels. We were for a good half hour before, and we were like, fancy blasting it that loud. You never used to blast it like that. That's really, really depressing, especially during lockdown when he knows everybody's in, and you know, I'm on a Zoom call in half an hour. And we eventually were like, right, come on then. And then as soon as he went, Jesus Christ, just chill out, we were like, okay, sorry. So there was quite a subdued feeling after that. And he started doing his audio again over the few days. I'm now convinced he doesn't fix audio. I think he just really likes being a selfish neighbour.
Yeah.
And then about a month, 6 weeks into lockdown, he decided to take up other musical instruments. Yeah. Well, his girlfriend was the first one. She started taking up the ukulele. Yes, at 8 in the morning.
Classic.
At 8 in the morning. So, I mean, you say there's nothing worse than waking up at 57 when you want to wake up at 7 a.m. and you wake up at 6:57. There is. There's waking up at 8 a.m. to a ukulele.
Yeah.
And worst thing as well with a ukulele, you can't really bang on the offbeat. It's just a constant strum. So we had to sort of just deal with that and be like, well, he got so angry last time, at least we can't have a pop at his girlfriend. And then he took up the pan pipes.
What year is it in there?
This is what
match.
I mean, is you can't say, oh, it's for work, I fix audio equipment, and be on and the pan pipes. Because what is the Venn diagram of somebody who's into drum and bass and pan pipes? That's a very eclectic mix there, and I can accommodate.
Is he trying to do like a sort of fusion? Is he playing the beats and then pan piping over top, trying to make some sort of like, you know, some sort of
I don't know. And quite frankly, I don't care. I just want it to stop. But I think it's got to a point now where the drum and bass, I would be like, well, maybe it's work. Pan pipe is not work. Okay.
No.
Ukulele at 8 a.m. is not work. And with the drum and bass, we had a system on how to let him know it was too loud on hitting on the offbeat. Pan pipes, he just freestyles. There's no way of... What do I do? Just join in through the wall, go... Hoo, 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 hoo. It's, I don't know what to do.
Could you get a didgeridoo?
I mean,
it feels
That's it. I think like we've got to think about what are the worst instruments. What are the worst instruments over panpipes? And there's not many.
I'm thinking the World Cup special vuvuzela.
Oh, bring it back!
Bring back the vuvuzela.
Bring back the vuv. I think that's what you need to do. Increasingly antisocial instruments.
Bagpipes is a good suggestion, Clarky. Bagpipes.
You gotta outpipe them.
Outpipe them. It's so hot, and I'd love to just go next door, ring the doorbell, and go, "Hi, really, really sorry about this, and I know it's difficult, but you know, everyone's working from home, and have a civilized conversation. Nobody answers the door when you ring that flat.
Do they ever leave? Do they go and do a big shop? Or
we've
like
tried
that,
this.
Or?
We've tried. I've tried sitting in the window like a cat, waiting to see when they come out, and I've lived in my flat nearly 3 years now, and I've seen them come out like once or twice. I don't know if they're nocturnal or what. I mean, I know they're chuffing not because of 8 a.m. ukulele, but I don't ever see them leave or come in. I don't know what they do, but no.
Do you buy them something nice? Is that like an option here?
Are you mad, Harry? Well, buy him a present.
Yeah.
Get the burger van.
Is there like, let's split a bottle of wine and get to know each other kind of an element to this?
I don't think I want to get to know someone who plays the pan pipes, though, Tom. I just don't think that's the kind of thing I need in my life. No. I've got friends and they either don't play musical instruments or they play cool. I don't want to hang out with someone who plays the pan pipes.
No, I can see that. I can absolutely see where you're coming from.
I think what you might want to do is keep them occupied. What about getting a load of broken audio equipment? Go down the tip, pick up a load of broken audio equipment, leave it outside his front door and say, I am a rich billionaire. I would like you to fix all this audio equipment for me.
Yeah.
Take as long as you like. I'll be back in a month and I'll pay you £1 million. And he'll go, brilliant. He'll start fixing all the audio equipment. He'll say, by the way, when you fix it, don't test it.
I was going to say, I don't want to know. I don't want the drum and bass problem to return. No. The only issue with this plan is that it's effective for just a month.
Yeah, that's I was that buys you a month, I guess. Yeah. And I guess then, yeah. I was could you say I'll come back in a year? It's just I'm trying to think of how much audio equipment you could possibly leave in a hallway.
Oh, I think you might need to consider moving flat.
What? That's the solution?
No, Tom, this can't be the... Tom, that's not how you solve a beef.
Whose logic are you using there? Leo's? You need to move.
You need to move.
Corky's advice now is going to be maybe sneak into his bed at night. Well,
I didn't want to say it, but...
Sneak into his bed and play the bagpipes. And make sure they are the bagpipes.
Every night in my dreams. See, yeah.
Bagpipes on the offbeat in his bed.
Yeah,
what's your nearest B&Q? Because listen, if you need a break from that sound, then I can tell you where to go.
Get up at 8 in the morning, just drive to your B&Q, sit there, kip in your car. Maisie, kip in your car in the B&Q car park.
Beef solved.
How dare you under my eyes, beef solved. If anything, I feel like the problem's got bigger somehow since telling you guys.
I think you just have to, go with it, lean into it, and just take up advice, if you know what I mean. Get onto it when he's blasting out the drum and bass. And then when the pan pipes come, chill out, tent.
Oh, right. Chill so you're saying when, as soon as the drum and bass starts, you double drop.
Yeah,
have a little rave in your flat.
Uh-huh.
Have it large.
Yeah,
and then sort of fall asleep to the gentle strains of the panpipe.
There you go.
It's not a bad idea.
I feel like producer... I do need to let you know though that it's not actually good panpipe playing. Like it's not something you could fall asleep. It's quite
erratic.
Yeah, it's more like a draft. You know when a draft makes a funny noise and the wind whistles? Like when you're on a train and it comes through the window. Yeah. You know on the tube at night when it whistles through? It sounds more like that.
Producer Emma has sent us this in the chat, which I'm sure you've considered this before, but she says, what about posting a note through the door? Have you considered...
So I've considered this, and maybe you can offer your advice on this. What's the right tone to go with? Is it...
C-sharp.
Shut the bleep up, or is it hello? I don't believe we've met.
Totally that one.
Yeah.
As much as I appreciate your talents in the music world.
Yeah.
I have a job that has antisocial hours, so if you could start your talents a little bit later and maybe turn them down a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
I think you've got to be friendly. Maybe that's where, I mean, this
if you could go to a B&Q car park to play the panpipes, that would be really helpful.
Exactly. maybe this is where Tom's possibly get them a little something. Maybe you get them a little.
I could get them some of them egg boxes to soundproof their house.
Buy them loads of eggs.
Although, you don't want to upset them if they're vegan.
Well, no, I'll take the eggs out because they don't need the eggs. I'll have the eggs. And then leave a load of egg boxes, go and bob these on your wall and we're all happy.
Lovely. I think that's great. So then you're not putting the onus all on them. You're saying, here's the solution. All you've got to do is implement it and we can have a happy life.
Great.
Do you know what?
Beef solved.
P.S. Have you got any laxatives? I've just eaten 60 eggs.
I got a laxative for you. It's called a burger van. Really get things going.
Oh. Wow, what a treat. Thank you so much, mate. That was brilliant.
Be really fun. Oh, is there anything you wanted to plug, by the way? Do you want to plug your podcast?
We do a podcast, me and Tom Lucy. It's called That's a First. And we have guests on talking about their first experiences of loads of stuff. It's quite a nostalgia fest. But you can get that wherever you get a podcast from. That's Lovely. Pretty much it. Aside Brilliant. From that, I'm living with my boyfriend and my brother.
Amazing.
We'll let you get back to both of those people.
Yep, gonna go have a bath with them now. Great.
There you go. What a treat that was. I just want to nip in the bud the rumours that that was a sponsored ad for B&Q. It was not.
It was sponsored by the Burger Van, if anything.
The Burger Van. Absolutely right. And I can't recommend that enough. Get to Exeter B&Q and have yourself either a pork bap, a burger or a hot dog. They do them all.
Oh, yes, please.
Absolutely delicious. Do they have a veggie option?
No.
Okay. Lovely, lovely applesauce roll for me then. Absolutely delish. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Have fun, and we'll see you next time. And this episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team. Cheers, everyone. Bye. Please be upstanding for today's Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call. Let me tell you about a guy. His destruction is wanton. He is in the sky. His name is Gary Panton. Chow, 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 pow, chow, pow, 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 chow, cow, 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 cow. Wow, chow, wow, wow,
no,
chow.
Okay, all right, wow, okay, chow. Here we go. Let me tell you about a guy. 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 Every time he, time I see this guy, let me tell you about this guy. Whoa, whoa, what a guy.
Let me tell
he's
you
a
about
nice,
this guy.
Lovely guy. He's a about a guy. He is a guy. Lovely guy. Let me tell you about this guy.
Guy. He eats from a trough and
let
he smells.
Let me tell you about this guy.
Eats from a trough and he smells. His name is Declan Crofwells. Let me tell you about that guy. Let me tell you about that guy.
About this guy. Let me tell you about this guy. Let me tell you about this guy.
Well, he's not there for want of trying. He's a lovely guy. He's James O'Brien. Ba, tell you about this guy.
Let me tell you about this guy.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I won't tell a lie. I'm not fibbing, son. Let me tell you about Simon Ibison. Let me tell you about this guy.
Let me tell you about this guy.
Yeah. Anytime you want to. Anytime you feel like it, clock it. Let me tell you about this guy.
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 Let me tell you about this guy. Let me tell you about this guy. Oh,
let
yeah,
me tell about this guy.
Let me tell you about this guy. Well, I can find her. She's like, where's Wally? But there she is. It's Sarah Malley. Oh, let me tell you about this girl. Let me tell you about this girl.
Let me tell you about this girl. Let me tell you about this girl.
Let me tell you about this one.
Let me tell you about this girl. Let me tell you about this guy. Let me tell you about this girl. Her favourite cartoons. She walked a mile and then she walked and then some. Let me tell you about Georgia Jensen.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you about this girl.
Tell you about this world. Let me tell you about this girl.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
I thought you stopped hearing me. Sorry.
No. Which ones have you done?
I started to talk on about four of them and then.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll let you do the next four.
Let Clarky tell you about these guys. Let Clarky tell you about these guys.
I will tell you about these guys. I will tell you about these guys. This one is one of my absolute favies. It is this lovely Russ Davies.
Clarky tells you about these guys.
Let me tell you about this guy.
It is this lovely Russ Davies. It is this lovely Russ Davies.
Clarky tells you about these guys.
Clarky tells you about these guys.
I'll fill in while his brain is mulling. The next guy's brilliant. Rachel Cullen. There, I'll tell you about that guy. There, I'll tell you about that guy.
There, we'll tell you about this guy.
Clarky tells you about these guys.
I'll fill in while it takes a moment. Clarky. The next person is Peter Bowman. Let me tell you about this guy. Clarky will tell you about these guys.
Let me tell you about these guys.
I will tell you about these guys. No one knows like John Knowles.
Clarky tells you about John Knowles. Clarky tells you about
these guys.
Clarky, I will tell you about these guys. This guy is very craven. His name is Adam Rilven.
Clarky tells you about Adam Rilven.
Adam Rilven.
Clarky tells you about these guys. Adam Rilven. He isn't craven. He's Adam Rilven. Clarky tells you about Adam Rilven. But will he tell us about Adam Raven?
He'll never tell you about Adam Raven because Adam Rilven is very crazy.
Let me tell you about this guy.
Let me tell you about these guys.
I'll tell you about someone who isn't even real, son. His name is Adam Rilson. Let me tell you about Adam Rilson. Let me tell you about Adam Rilson.
Let me tell you
Robert
about
De Niro's production company is called Tribeca. Let me tell you about Rebecca. Let me tell you
about Adam Rilson.
Let me tell you, Adam Rilson likes Rebecca. Let me tell you about Robert De Niro.
She's a wonderful girl. She is very classy. Let me tell you about Lydia Massey. Let me tell you about Adam Rilson.
Let me tell you about Adam Rilson. Well, we're nearing the end of this song, which is a shame, because I haven't told you about Vidya Emmeline Long. Let me tell you about Adam Rilson. Let me tell you about Adam Rilson.
Let me tell you about Adam Rilson.
It's Clarky's turn, and he's no faker. He's going to tell you about Brian Baker. Let him tell you about these guys.
Let me tell you about Adam Rilson. Let me tell you about Adam Rilson.
Well, that concludes... A neighborhood Patreon watch roll call dedicated to Adam Rilson.
Bye, Adam Rilson. We love you.
Keep it real, son.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.